Everybody say it mean.
Who's that out there living the dream? Let's blow in the bean. Who's that still smoking all that green? Let's blow in the bean. Come on, y'all, let me hear you scream. Let's blow in the bean. Let's blow in the bean. Let's blow in the bean.
What's up? What a weekend of fights. It wasn't necessarily MMA based. There was a lot of under promotions putting it on, but everybody knows why we're here. I'm pretty sure you haven't heard anything about it, so you're here to get it straight from the horse's mouth ourselves. One of the record-breaking most viewed. I feel like the record I heard broken over the online streaming was 100 million illegal downloaded views. That's 10 million pay-per-view wise?
You always have to share in the audience what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm talking about, of course, Mac May. It went down. We had the spectacle finally.
You know about it. You've watched it. If you're listening.
We had an extra episode last week just to keep you guys filled in. And the floodgates have all opened and the storm has come through. I guess that's a bad analogy right now.
Ooh, yeah. Sorry, Houston.
Yep. You'll be well. Ooh, I think the storm's hitting them again. Either way, the storm that hit us over the weekend was bountiful in the fight world. We're going to be able to break this fight down for a long time. Do we want to start from the top of how the white fight went, break it down, or just kind of talk about the byproducts? Because people saw it. People have watched it. We don't need to tell them what happened after round.
Yeah. What was your overall consensus of how the fight?
I'm an MMA fan, so of course I'm going to say a 0-0 boxer went against a 49-0 boxer and lost. Surprise. You guys know how I felt that he probably wasn't gonna win, but I thought he would go to the decision. And I do think that there was controversy. There is controversy always with these things, but the stoppage was a little bit early for me. I do think that in boxing, there's an 8 or a 10 count. I think people that I don't even know anything about boxing, and there was people watching it with us that didn't know much about boxing that are like, aren't they supposed to wipe off his gloves and ask him if he's okay? Like, have you seen any Rocky movie ever? And
I believe this was supposed to have a standing 8 count minimum.
Yeah, 3 knockdown rule. So if you, regardless of whether it's a clean knockout or not, if you touch a knee or a limb to the ground, if it's considered a knockdown 3 times in one round, it's a technical knockout and you lose the fight. That didn't happen. This didn't even get counted at any point in time. My boy was a little tired. I ain't gonna make any excuses, as he is not. He gets a little goofy. He gets a little wormy in there when his blood starts flowing. But bullocks. Give him the chance. Give him a chance. He went into your frame of sport, abide by the rules, and you used our rules against us. It was like an MMA fight when they're like, one and done. Oh, I stepped in, fight's over. They used that and hammer fists. Hammer fists were allowed in this bout as well.
Well, I was one thing selfishly, and maybe it is the MMA and wanting to see Conor in the octagon so badly again. I'm okay with the early stoppage now, as I've sat on it.
I agree. I've come more to terms with it because I think do want
both fighters
Conor
look
longer.
Good. Everyone knew where what was where it was headed.
Right.
You know, unless there was some Conor lucky shot, but Floyd was pretty much picking him apart by that point, so we didn't want it to get any worse. He didn't have to take any head trauma. There was no need for him to get knocked out, because if he did, he's not going to be able to fight in 6 months. So I think there's all these, selfishly, I'm glad. I didn't want him to take it for another minute now. I was pissed.
Retrospective.
I was pissed, but now looking at it.
I was mad because I had a lot of bets on that
decision. I thought it was an odd stoppage. It just looked weird.
He got into the 10th round.
Yes. He did. After he got past 4, I might even verbalized it aloud in the room. Okay. Whatever happens now.
It doesn't matter.
I think he looks good.
I think as soon as that bell rung initially, they won because those checks cleared. As soon as that bell rung, and both of them, and they're both treating it now after the fact, like, hey, both being really gracious in winning and defeat, and are both just like, I'm getting paid. So, I mean, they really didn't go wrong. There's nothing. But I do feel like myself, I will hold it in my heart that Floyd Mayweather is 50 with an asterisk. There has to be an asterisk there because he fought an 0-0 fighter to break that record, and that record was against another professional boxer that was created. Conor didn't even have an amateur bout. It was an 0-0 fighter.
Yeah.
But what I don't like, and I've seen a lot of, there was this really cringeworthy Twitter going around where this young kid was talking a lot of crap to Floyd Mayweather Sr. And Floyd Mayweather Sr., dang, you know why Floyd Mayweather fights the way he fights, so he don't end up like his dad and his uncle.
Punchy as fuck.
I mean, if you guys want to know what a lifetime of fighting will do to your brain and how it'll treat you in the later on stages of life, just watch Floyd Mayweather Sr. and I think it's Robert Mayweather, his uncle as well. But this kid was just talking a lot of smack and like, oh, you don't know about the angles, you don't know stuff. And the kid was really douchey and he wore a suit to the fight. And as soon as the fight was over, the kid was just like, because he was predicting a knockout, he videotaped his reaction. He ended up immediately starting with, hey, guess what? He went 10 rounds. A 0-0 boxer, an MMA guy with your best ever. So not really a big loss. I just don't like that he immediately fell back on that. And I don't want to do that either. But it is a really easy out for us.
I'm proud of Conor.
I agree.
I thought he did awesome. I knew every time I predicted a KO finish for Conor, I knew that it was more so like the same way you wish for a certain dragon queen and a certain man of the north to get together. There's like this poetic, beautiful craving I have to see him do that because I feel like we've all watched him as MMA fans grow up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a good guy. He's not a shitbag like Floyd, but I think Floyd's different a little bit too now than the Floyd he was. And I think he deserves, and this is from a woman, deserves not to wear, he paid his dues.
He went to jail.
I feel like he deserves not to wear that badge forever. And, you know, Connor's kids and Floyd's kids. And, you know, neither of them will ever have to work. And so hopefully they have good children and they give good people to the world, you know? So I feel like they're both better people because of this. I do think we're going to see Conor again. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be Nate Conor 3, but we can get into that.
Oh, man, that's what I've been hearing. But there's so much Nate news going on, too.
Yeah, we can get into all that. But overall, I feel good about the fight. I feel good, the post-fight presser. I don't know if I was just it was an emotional weekend, but the whole thing was really beautiful to me. It was exactly what I wanted, or I didn't even know I wanted it.
I think it did deliver.
It was worth the money.
I totally agree. I do not feel bad about
it. It made me a fan of Floyd Mayweather for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
And it was the ending, how Floyd was as a winner.
Yep.
He was so humble in winning, and how humble Conor was in defeat made me a bigger fan of him. And, you know, we've seen that side of him before. We've seen Conor lose, and he always is a cool guy. And I feel really good about the whole fight.
I do think that
it's rare that we're not all in here like, that card shit the bed. And you know what? The card itself, don't remember.
I was about to ask you.
Don't know one fighter on it.
What other fights made the day for you? Was it that weird knockdown?
Don't remember anything.
It was like back of the head punch and they called it off like disqualification or something. And they cut his leases. Yeah. You got to really catch up. For me, I tried to watch some of the earlier fights, but they were... I mean, boxing has just completely lost all of its flair. And I grew up, that's what I started. But it's the day I saw that VHS and was like, we can choke each other? Like, I can turn his elbow the other way? Me and my twin brother, Evil Twin, were on it. I learned arm bars a long time ago.
You didn't even know you were doing them. Like, does this hurt?
Yeah,
That's exactly it.
That's it. Okay, stop. I said tap. I said stop. Or uncle, or merindo. All that good stuff. So, with the Nate Conor, well, let's close up the fight night.
Overall, I'm happy for both guys. Good for both of them. I think we might see. One thing I'll say about the whole entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Pauly, and I never want to see that fight. I would rather see Nate.
He's already making his rounds. Pauly's already making his rounds.
Everyone's burnt on him.
No, he was on casts and news. already talking about post-fight stuff and how he knew.
But he's going to be apparently he said to Brennan Schaub, I'm glad Floyd had a hard time with Conor in the first round. Because I did too.
He didn't want to feel bad about himself that he was some pro. Right. I totally agree with that. And that's a big takeaway for me. This is going to be Paulie's Lime Night. And I bet you that dude is somehow going to start to find his way into MMA. Because it's a different fan base than boxing. Where leaps and bounds growing, where boxing, I think fans probably gained a couple from UFC or from this weekend.
Know what kind of but tool I think he more boxers.
I think it's going to be announcing or other stuff. I just think he's going to force his way in like he has been.
Does he know enough about our sport to announce for it?
No, but not everybody does. I mean, Mike Goldberg didn't. He had hockey experience. He was just good on the mic, and him and Joe worked together. They have the fighter. Like the contender series, Paul Felder and Eve are going in there, Edwards, and their guys are usually like XFL guys or other stuff.
I predict a bright light burns out faster for Paulie. I think this is his shit.
I think this is going to be his number one.
And everyone's going to be so tired of him. He's going to be the laughing stock always. Like, his face will be in places. He'll be the running joke on Twitter a few years from now, and they'll be like, oh shit, that guy's pulling a Paulie Maganella.
Yeah. For real.
I don't know. I'm just so burned out on him. I'm whatever. But we are saying his name again. So. Right.
And something's working. Cha-ching. Also, the very last takeaway, what I think that all of the new up and coming fighters can take from this event is how to promote yourself to get the most for your short career that you're going to potentially have and really damaging yourself, and how you can win in a loss and in a victory. You don't have to ever come out the bad guy in a fight because you talk bullshit to the crowd. If you're genuine and humble, a lot of people come around. A lot of people do, and both guys did it.
I like the UFC style press conference better than boxing.
Oh, I would agree with that 100%.
I don't need everyone on the panel. Yeah, I don't mind if it's just the two fighters that are fighting each other with Dana in the middle, but I would really like, I like the reporters asking questions or fans asking questions if they run mic, but I do not like them just going out there and putting on a rap spiel on how they're going to beat the other's ass and you're my bitch.
Yeah.
For the event,
it was fun. And through all that, we learned who the A side was. Remember when all that was a big topic, A and B? Well, we saw the A side even in that arena, which they didn't sell out because you overpriced some bullshit. With overpricing arenas, I caught this I think a day ago, there was, and I think this is going to happen to all events now because of the accessibility of all the cameras we have. There's a guy who broke into the pay-per-view and got $100,000 seats for free by faking his way all the way in with camera credentials.
Kudos.
Agreed. But what these are inspiring is copycats. So now UFC and or organizations are going to have to triple it up, which is going to be fun. It's going to be like a cat and mouse game of who can get in or out.
Yeah, and you know, if one day when we have our illegal
press passes,
it'll be all that much more fun to go all the way through it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind. I don't mind a little extra security.
Yeah.
Elitism on the whole
exactly.
thing.
But it can be done. Okay. People are
showing
up.
We're
going
to stay... Are you any more Maymac? Can we put this to bed?
Well, where is Conor going to do? What's he going to do next? What do you think?
I think we can...
Because that ties into everything else, is what Conor's going to do next.
But wait, I think we can get to that in a minute. Any more about the fight?
No,
more about the post-fight presser?
Nope.
Okay. So, same night, I think, to get into first, the second best fight that happened that night... wasn't on the card. It was backstage between your boy Big Brown and your boy Nate Diaz.
I don't know if it was a fight or just an exchange of words, but yeah.
Well, did you hear about the whole exchange?
I did listen to Schwab with Rogan, and I watched the videos, and they've been all broken down, but I didn't see any fist fly. I saw Schwab leaving very quickly. Break it down. How do you feel?
Well, the whole story, if you guys haven't heard it anywhere, is they were backstage and Brennan Schaub thought, oh, you know, I'm pretty good at the marketing game. Oh, look, there's Nate. Nate Diaz, UFC brethren, UFC fraternity. Let me go say hey and give him a piece of advice on what he should do next to promote himself, because all the cameras are here and he shouldn't be talking shit about Conor right now. He should be talking about how great Conor did and how he's going to piece Conor up quicker than Floyd did. That's the angle he should be taking. That's
a smart angle.
Which I thought it was super intelligent. Smart angle. So he wanted to go to him and give him
give
this
advice.
And,
be
and
a give friend. Him,
yeah. Uh-huh. And he's doing pretty good life after fighting Brennan Schaub. You got to give him cred there. So he goes over to him and he's like, hey. And Nate's like, ha ha ha, how stupid do you fucking feel right now? You went around touting like your boy was going to do something and he fucking lost. Ha ha ha. He's like, whoa, man, whoa. Not a big deal. Like, you know, I think Conor looked great out there and I think he did a really good job. I'm proud of him, man. And he's like, oh, well, whatever. And he goes, I think he had a couple rounds. Nah, he didn't do shit, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, all right, all right, all right. Let's just, you know, whatever. And he said that Nate was saying something and Brennan said, use your words, man. Use your words. Yep. And that was a trigger for Nate that he was like, off the chain.
That's the Diaz brothers, though. Like, this is not new at all. People think that they can be not cute, because I think Brendan came from a good place, but it's one of those life lessons that I feel like Schaub is gonna learn, where he's just like, fuck, maybe I need to keep my opinion to myself. Like, it is his career.
As good of a plan that it was.
I agree.
This isn't the time or the place for you to be thinking you're going to big ball me around
Brennan
fucking Schaub. Thank you. But he didn't even bring up that point. All Brennan was like, that was his idea.
Right.
The only thing they got into was, how stupid do you fucking feel? Your boy fucking lost. He's like, man, I'm working for Showtime. Like, that's my job is to, you know, talk up Conor and, you know, show the MMA perspective. And he's like, oh, whatever. And he says he knows Nate got really sensitive about it because he's just like, he's like, yeah, whatever, like you and Arlovsky. And he's like, he brought up my fighting career.
Yeah, that's funny. So that's really funny.
Pretty funny.
Diaz brothers are loose cannons. They're somebody that'll go toe-to-toe for you and with you in a second, in a heartbeat. They can be alongside of you and all of a sudden you could have stepped on a crack and they're fucking throwing punches at you. Not really. I mean, but they're guys that definitely have been uncuffed multiple times at press conferences. I think they got in the bottle thing with Conor and with other, like, they make headlines, but that's why they make money. That's why they're always in people's mouths, because they're just like, fuck everyone, fuck the media. I smoke weed, whatever. They're tough guys. They can back it. Schaub is a big motherfucking guy. And Nate did not back down at all.
He fought 100 pounds heavier than Nate.
And Nate didn't give a fuck.
Didn't care at all.
Don't give a... That's a dangerous person.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous motherfucker.
That's why Brennan walked away. He's like, dude, I was so embarrassed.
He kept saying that. I did hear him on Rogan talking about that.
Because... Oh, go ahead.
Mine's off topic. I want to finish the Nate talk, but...
Oh, well, it kind of goes right together. Now, is there any other fight for Conor McGregor except Nate Diaz?
I can see how round three is definitely the third bout, because they're 1-1. It's an easy promotional way to go. But I think you could save that in the bank for a rainy day. Let's say some crazy shit happens later on, or you just have nothing going on and you want injecting those two fighters into
they're
any
talking
single
about
card
it for the end of this year.
I think that's too close. What I think though with
What better training for Nate Diaz than boxing?
He's been a longtime boxer. He grew up boxing. And
no,
he's
no,
one
no,
of the best.
That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. What better training for Conor to go against Nate than this friggin' boxing camp he just went through and got paid $100 million to do it?
Right. To go against the guy. I totally agree.
I mean, I'm not really... I just don't know what the other option is. It's not that I'm super excited about it. I totally agree. I think... I wish they'd delay it. I just don't know how much more Conor in the ring we're going to get. I think two fights max and then movie career.
I think that that's not far off. I think that he... If he's a total genius, he GSPs it without coming back, where he defends a belt one more time and walks away, and leaves with the belt and is just like, I'm going to go do movies now at an all-time high, instead of going into the losing the belt, trying to get it back.
Is GSP super successful at All Out of the Ring?
Yeah, he had some of the biggest sponsors initially. He was the one that people were like, I want GSP money. The Diaz brothers, they were just like, no, fuck you. GSP isn't the money fight here. I'm the money. That's where it all started prior to Conor, prior to all that shit, was against GSP. Like, GSP isn't the money fight. He's selling you Wolf tickets. Do you remember any of that talk years ago?
Yeah, but I just... Where is he at now?
Oh, he needs fucking money. That's why he's coming back to UFC. He did that Discovery show about dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Life dinosaurs. Out of UFC. I think Conor is so much bigger than that.
Yeah, I agree. But that's why he's fighting fucking... Bisbee.
Yeah. this is the other most brilliant thing that Big Brown said. I have to give him a little credit. Because do you remember like 2.5 years ago when Conor's sitting there in the press conference and he's like, whatever, they just sold this, you know, for $4 billion. I am the UFC. I'm the UFC. I'm going to own this company. And he said he's going to fight Floyd and he said he's going to do all this stuff and we never fucking believe him.
Right.
And he's done it.
Right.
So here's what Big Brown says is going to happen. And I'm like, another brilliant inside from being fighter head.
Sure.
So he's going to get to make a whole new contract for Nate Diaz 3, as well as Nate. And Nate Diaz should have in his contract, hey, Nate, I'm talking to you. You need to put it in your contract that Nick's allowed to be in your corner regardless. Because the way they kicked him out before last fight because of Bottlegate was bullshit. It fucks with your head.
They're trying to fuck with your head.
Yeah, so I think it's bullshit. So you need to put that in your contract.
I agree.
So they're going to sit down with Conor to do his new contract before that. And he's going to say, well, I want $100 million. You know, that's what I'm worth now. I know how many pay-per-views I alone bring, and I break records every time I'm on TV. This is how much I want. And the UFC is going to say, we can't afford $100 million. And Conor's going to say, okay, that's fine. I'll do it for shares of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to slowly own the UFC. He will decide how many percentages he wants of it, and he'll slowly get percentages for his fights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's brilliant.
It's next level thinking, and the way it's split now
between all these management groups and all these celebrities,
right?
He wouldn't have to one fight. He would own more than all the celebrities.
They're already consolidating. There's already other people buying up to those little guys' contracts, and they're already reselling. Like, it's already the shareholders are getting smaller and smaller because people. The real big dogs are starting to see this is a global sport. Like we've been saying.
It's a global sport. It's faster growing than NASCAR.
Soccer.
And this is the other thing. Well, NASCAR was the number one growing sport.
In America, or I think worldwide. Really? And that's so weird.
I heard that the more people watch that, and it took forever. I remember being like a 15-year-old and somebody told me more people watch NASCAR than NFL football. And I'm just like, I cannot.
But with the Super Bowl, as big as that is.
But have you ever been to a NASCAR arena?
No, I've seen it.
Enormous.
Yeah.
They're enormous. Just people with big old headphones. Into it. And then there's like once you get off highways and once you get out of big cities, there is like this NASCAR part of the country. I can't imagine people in other countries, but I guess there's people that like fast cars everywhere.
True. So, there's all those fast cars and fast bikes here. But anyways,
UFC is bigger than that, and so we know it's bigger than boxing. Just look at their pay-per-views to any of, you know,
It brought an MMA fighter to fight your guy to bring the fucking pay-per-view up.
Yes.
And so that's an MMA. Just throwing that out there.
So it's the fastest growing sport out there, and Conor becomes the Don King of UFC.
That would be fucking amazing.
And in a way, can you not see Dana White retiring and being like, yeah, he can handle it?
I feel like that's a whole TV show.
But if anyone...
Like, it's a paperboy starting at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then becoming the fucking president.
And Dana loves Conor.
But Dana loves everybody who can make him money. It's notorious.
And Conor loves everyone who can make... They make good money together.
It's the truth. They both got the same
end goal. I like how Floyd said it. It was... I couldn't imagine a better dancing partner. And did we ever see a more exciting Floyd Mayweather? Ever?
Have you ever seen a more exciting...
He was Pretty Boy Floyd.
A more exciting... that's his most exciting bout he's had in the last 10 years. For reals, look back at all of his other fights.
20.
It would be.
The whole time. Yeah. It was my most exciting. It was the most invested I was, so I don't want to be biased, but I just thought he looked amazing.
Well, he did.
It was so exciting to see him like that again. And
he's never fought like that. He never has, but this is where, and we're going back to it because I do have more to say about it, which, don't get it twisted, people. Don't think that Floyd Mayweather, that was his style. He used that style against an MMA fighter. Connor said it best when he said, I turned him into a Mexican. It's because he put his head in between his gloves, walked forward, and threw punches. Floyd doesn't do that, but he knew that he was going to be able to take whatever Connor threw at him, especially in those later rounds when Connor really started to fatigue. But people are saying also with the statistics of Connor outstriking Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather, and they went the distance. Well, during that Floyd Pacquiao fight, Floyd did never walked into Pacquiao the same way that he walked into Connor for 6 or 7 rounds. Mayweather just danced the entire time and came away with a decision. So just, people are going to be using that stat, especially for Connor and MMA, like he has some of the most accurate hands in the world. That's going to be shit.
I think 111 is fair. I think Floyd's fought all different kind of punches, and Manny's style, traditionally, not with like a torn rotator cuff or whatever bullshit.
Right.
His style traditionally, he is a power puncher in boxing. So yes. It forced Floyd to dance around like that.
Agreed.
He wasn't scared of Connor at all.
I had not one bit. Exactly.
He wasn't scared. Exactly. He even said he wasn't the hardest puncher he's ever gone against.
There was only one clean uppercut,
but even that, if you're Connor and that's your clean shot that you, but that's not Connor's shot.
I feel like he knocked out Brimage, and he hits a lot of people with that sneaky shot, but he doesn't knock them dead. That wobbles them, and then he'll hit them with a straight right after that. That usually puts them down.
I think he's straight left all day. That's his shot. And he anytime he kept trying to feel out with the right, you know, just a little pitter patter on the nose. Floyd was a champion. I love the whole fight.
Sure.
We can move on.
So with B-Shop real quick, did you hear his bet that Chael Sonnen apparently took him on that Connor wouldn't win any rounds?
$100,000
and yeah. Chael texted him and said, I'll be in town and I'll bring the money. And B-Shop is like, no, it's all good. I love the story, love everything, but is it douchey that he told everyone? Because the gentleman, the fucking hire guy thing to do is to never bring it up to anybody. And you and Chael know, and that's it.
Unless the repayment was that time, because he did say, he helped out my boy Ryan Bader when he really needed it. And
Nate
so,
Marquardt.
Was it Nate?
It was Nate Marquardt.
Oh, Nate Marquardt when he really needed it. So
money. Yeah, he gave him money.
I always owed him one in my head or something.
Which
in
is
that
fucking
level.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the story. I love the story. I just wanted to be a devil advocate.
He brought it up on his show too.
So,
he got 100,000 views. Everybody knows about it. And I also think it says something good about Chael that they said either way ahead of time. This is what I think for both of them. Either way, neither was going to, because I like Joe Rogan.
I would have taken the money.
Chael would have taken the money from you.
Yeah, he would have taken that money.
And Brennan's like, no, he wouldn't. But then I think, what about if they have a bet, like, either way it goes, we'll never trade the money. We'll say the other offered to, and the other gets to be a good guy, and the other doesn't have to give him money, but we just have a gentleman's bet. But
sure.
We both get tons of podcast talk
because
about it.
Because it is a great topic to have, and to be able to just have that story.
And
of,
you
like,
both look like ballers, that you just have $100,000 laying around the bet.
I did kind of get that feeling. Like, these guys are also thinking next level stuff. Like, they know how to turn off the mic and talk.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be absolutely fine. And they know how to promote, especially Chael. I think a lot of people have... I think Connor had really took a lot off. But a lot of fighters did. Because nobody was doing that. Everybody was doing the, I'm Matt Hughes, I'm quiet, I come in here, I do my work, and I go home. The middle America. I don't complain.
I'm Frankie Edgar.
I get paid. Exactly. So... we needed it. Chael showed people, like, you can make money, because he got those title shots with his mouth. And EPO. A whole fucking lot of EPO.
Yeah.
Because he had just had a gas tank and a good wrestling.
Speaking of EPO.
Uh-huh. John Jones, you let me down, John Jones. DC was just finally on air. Talking about it, did you hear? Okay, so he was saying real quick, just like, man, it's just like, he'll get the belt back. It's not his fault. He wasn't cheating. He was in there doing everything he should have. He's always been, and it's not his fault. Rightly, he said everything you would think he was going to say, and good for him. And with that, John Jones, for 2 years, at 205, no one's touching DC other than Alexander Gustafsson. DC's openly said, right, rematch me with fucking anyone. I don't want to fight that guy right now. John Jones as well was like, I don't want to fight that guy right away right now. He's just fucking...
So John Jones, did you hear 3 out of the last 4 times since USADA, he's popped.
Yes!
And the only time he didn't pop, who was he fighting?
Fucking, was it OSP?
Yeah, what was his fight that he looked like the most garbage?
Right. The worst John Jones we've ever seen.
Yeah, the only time he didn't pop.
Right.
And the more I have found out about that drug, I was sticking up for him saying conspiracy.
What is the official drug that came out on the test?
It's like tyrannosazole.
I thought it was something like that. I feel like Chael has talked about it a lot.
And one of the things about it is it gives you this burst of aggression. It like you can take it. It's all out of your system in a few hours.
Yep.
But the effects of it stay in your system for a couple of days where once you get to a certain level, you get this burst of aggression. So it is a certain type of thing, and it's perfect, and it's for heavy lifters, bodybuilders.
Yep.
And all the time, it's meant to be in and out of your system, and only if you get a dirty batch.
That's what Chael was saying. Or maybe it was Bishop.
I think Bishop had a chemist
that was telling
email
him
that gave him details.
It was he said it was a smart guy that was just like, if it's this, it was probably a dirty whatever. But that just takes into question the whole career of John Jones.
Exactly.
And
USADA didn't go out around advertising. They had this new test for a little bit.
Yep.
But they didn't tell anyone that they
smart,
had
smart, fucking smart. That's why the way you're going to catch people. With that I'm thinking of, I feel like baseball, that's what a bunch of dudes came out on testimony because like one of the baseball players'
wives
was
talking
shit.
The guy that they
called
the golden snitch, he's the guy that cleaned up baseball.
And he also cleaned up Lance Armstrong, which just means send that guy to the NFL, see what happens. Send that guy to boxing, see what happens. Like, it doesn't fucking matter the sport.
On the JRE when they said, so what kind of testing was there for the McGregor-Mayweather fight?
And yeah, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, look at the paneling. Because, I guarantee you UFC's like, don't you dare bring this shit up.
Yeah, all of a sudden Floyd pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So...
because Conor's being tested by UFC still. He's still under USADA rules.
Oh, interesting.
But Floyd was never under USADA rules. Think of that.
Interesting.
Conor, the whole entire time, he's tested because he is still a UFC
fighter.
Would
you fight somebody on steroids for $100 million?
I would fight someone on steroids for $100.
That's the fucking truth. That's the fucking truth. Jesus.
Depends on the person.
true. So there's
but I would
still
get in the ring with Floyd or Connor for $100 million.
Brock Lesnar. Yeah. I'll give me 3 rounds, I could be limp or not. No knockout rule. Just fucking He just can't kill me.
Throw you around all weak neck, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Just from like a bear mauling a dead person. You're supposed to lay there. That's all I would do. I'd just be like,
what could you do? The Revenant.
Lay there and breathe.
The Revenant, that's what it'd look like. You're Leo DiCaprio. You'd have to crawl up inside a buckskin and heal yourself.
In the octagon? No, I think I'm going to just be keep thrown around. He's going to throw me over the ring like a drape or like a blanket, and then he's going to drag
me
down.
Is that the scariest person as a man that you can imagine going into the
just
octagon with?
Just the size, yeah. Because it doesn't matter at that size. I've rolled with guys
Where's
that are
John
up there.
Jones?
Yeah.
Because the ground and pound of it.
Because
brutal.
It just, he doesn't even have to be good. He can literally hit you with the sloppiest punch in the world and it will hurt you.
Because the scariest woman's Chris Cyborg.
Agreed. But I'll take, come on,
Gianna,
Cyborg, let's wrestle.
what's her name? Gianna Carano.
Gina Carano?
She's scarier.
No way. I'll wrestle Gina.
Wait, who's Cyborg's best friend?
Oh, Gabriel, freaking Gabby
Garcia, scariest bitch.
Yeah, that's a big bitch.
What about if she
a legit black belt?
K Caitlyn Jenner who wins.
The only reason I'm not going to get that Gabby fight is because I'm not a 50-year-old Japanese woman. And
do you think you could beat Gabby Garcia?
Fuck no. There's too much juice in that orange. Like, she is Cyborg's friend, best friend. Just throwing that back out there. Sorry, but when we're talking all about this, and we've already cleared Cyborg because she's been cleaned this many times, and then we're like, oh, you got this new test? I wonder who else is gonna fucking pop.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, coming at you late breaking.
Let's have a bet right now.
Woo!
Who are our top three biggest likely to pop now that this test is out? That they're all like, oh, shit. Well, everyone found out about it. So everyone that planned on doing it.
Freaking, but that's going to make performances change
and
real quick.
They hold how many years back of samples that they can go back and retest.
But this only works in the United States, though. So in the Netherlands, like we are going to have coming up here real quick. Exactly. Or Russia or Argentina, wherever we're going to end up going. That only works in the States. So it has to be fighters coming into the States.
It's another reason, I have to be honest, that I don't love Khabib as a fighter, and I think he's overrated. It's another
but
reason.
But he doesn't look it. He's one of the few guys that doesn't look like he's on it.
I think those Russian guys look like that when
but
they're...
But they could be on that EPO too, where it
that's
doesn't...
That's what I think. I think it's
all
the
endurance.
Twine. It's a different kind of...
And they grind you.
Yes.
They grind you wide because they're on fucking EPO.
And I also think those things make it harder to cut weight.
But you can get stuff that helps with all of it. It's all a cycle. And if there's something... Like that stuff that they just, that Jones got caught for and or the baseball players, like, we only know what they find. There's a bunch of shit. Like, I'm sure there's.
I think we should just have likely to pop.
Cyborg, like, of course.
I don't know. I want to think she's clean in my heart. I want to think she's clean in my heart.
Her and John Jones.
fair enough.
Yeah, so
Overeem, man, it seems like the UFC helps him out every time.
Yeah, he's definitely, but I feel like we have the people that have asthma or nasal problems can't be in that boat because they've already gotten clearances.
I know, huh? Interesting.
There's so many fighters, but the guys that immediately look at Hector Lombard, Garcia Burns, the guys in the 170s, I think there's a lot of those guys that do it, but it's more for the recovery. I don't think that it's for that specific.
I can't wait for Masvidal Thompson.
Yeah, that's definitely
speaking of guys in the 170. All right, what else? John Jones, you're breaking our heart.
Yeah, so
do you care anymore? Are you over John Jones?
I mean, yes, I care, but it is just like, I'm not surprised. It, you know, it's John Jones. He's already
4 years.
Fucked.
Are you? What's he left? What's left 4 years from now for him?
He could come back in 4 years and still be a fucking monster, or be a trainer. I don't even know. But also, what is interesting with John Jones in this whole situation is his brothers are two NFL players. So if he's getting the elite highest strain of shit, I wonder where from.
Well, it's obviously not the highest strain of shit if it's not out of the system in time.
Good point. Maybe his brother makes it. But they're all synthetic drugs. But with a little on the different topic, did you happen to hear Snoop Dogg, who's actually doing a Snoop cast right now after the fight?
Horrible.
Right?
It's horrible. I hate the Snoop cast. I don't know why it's... This is the entertainment part of what the UFC is becoming, that they're trying to reach this desperate point of, we know what the kids like. Guess what? Businessmen sitting in suits around a long wooden table. Nothing against Snoop Dogg. Everybody loves Snoop in small doses, teeny little doses. No one needs Snoop at this point in his career to run a podcast for the UFC.
Agreed.
He's not breaking down
any kind of a fight. And
Demi Lovato would know more. If you want a celebrity to run a podcast, have Demi Lovato know. She just got her blue belt.
It was a fun little type of experiment initially, and I watched the first two fights. And then
have
I turned
Uriah
it right
Faber,
to the actual fucking Felder. Way better.
Uriah Faber does not run a good podcast. He's not commanding
not
enough, and all he
either.
Did was sit to the side and laugh. If you want a UFC podcast so bad and have Snoop in as a guest occasionally, I am down for that. If you want to question him after there's big events or fights coming up and ask him where he stands on it, cool, great. If he wants to make the podcast circuit rounds, cool. don't need to watch a Snoop show. If Snoop had a podcast that had nothing to do with UFC, I wouldn't watch it. So
I agree with that.
I don't want
him on my UFC. How that motherfucker make me a fucking hit? I can turn the lights down and light some candles. I'll listen to it, but I don't need you to tell me about my fight life.
Turn down and light candles. I'm thinking of like the Snoop song, like Doggy Style album.
Like, oh, turn yeah. it down. You know what I'm talking about. Look at that good old Snoop beat down. So, we could keep going for days, but I think we'll leave that to another show. I think we need to get down and dirty. It's been a little while. We've definitely had a break. We've gotten
to break down a mixed martial arts fight.
It's definitely gonna be a fun one to get into. We're gonna see some new names in here, and had a little more time to watch a little more tape on these guys, and a lot of people are shitting on this card, and I think that that's bullshit. There's a ton of good fights on here. I see like 5 to 6 fights that I'm just like, ooh, I can't miss that one.
I'll let you know when we go through. I'm gonna do mine live on air. And right, I'm not gonna change them before the fights.
Ooh, you're gonna leave it so it's gonna stay as it is. We're going to Rotterdam in the Netherlands. The headliner is Stefan Struve versus Alexander Volkov at the heavyweight division. This is going to be known as a UFC FN. It's going to be Fight Night 115 at Rotterdam. You're going to be able to view this on Fight Pass, and I think maybe Fox, but I feel like it's going to be a Fight Pass. It starts Saturday at 2. This is an early fight night here on the East Coast, which I love. That means I might go out Saturday night. We'll see. Because it's going to be over by like 10. Perfect timing. Maybe a bit sooner. From the bottom up, this fight is going to end up starting with the ladies. This fight fell through. The Iron Lady apparently isn't made of iron. Do you know this already?
Over and over again.
So she fell out of the fight like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Marion Renew was going to be an easy walkthrough for her because let me tell you who Marion Renew has last fought with. She's 40 years old. I've just not been a big fan due to her gas tank and lack of movement. Last fight was a decision majority against Betch Kohea. Decision. Then she won against Milena Dulavia, which was, I feel like, a debuter. Before that, she lost to Ashley Evans Smith in a split decision, and then a Holly Holmes decision, which is reputable. She definitely comes at us with a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu based fight game. She has a good straight hand, but her gas tank is so weak, and her fight IQ is also not the best. I feel like she can get rolled over, and at her age, 40, her and Floyd Mayweather need to be hanging out. Because they need to be taking, I feel like, not too many more fights in the UFC. I just feel like her performances haven't made me think that she was going to get any better. And the thing that might benefit, that does benefit her the most, is it's not Darren Dahmy in there. Because that was going to be an easy fight for Darren Dahmy. Renew has a real shot at beating this debuter that's on a week and a half notice. I mean, this is a lady that is just like, what? I got to be in the Netherlands from Brazil in how many days? Okay. You guys are going to front the bill? Okay. She's fighting out of Brazil. It's Tatia de Oliveira. She is a 4-1 fighter. And she's fighting out of Vale Tudo down out of Brazil. Rio de Oca. I watched her fights. She definitely has a good double leg takedown. I really liked it. I think against Renew, she can use a double leg takedown, but Renew's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is going to factor on the ground. Oliveira was fighting women that really didn't put up too much of a fight, though. The competition for Renew has been so much higher that even I just feel like there's so many things playing against Oliveira. I think that she's a young and up-and-coming fighter, but she's still very, very raw. Her ground, I loved how she went for the armbar whenever she gets them out, and she works them out really, really well. But again, her competition was so low, and I don't know if she just made it look like she was outskilling those women so much, or she really was, but that's not going to happen in the UFC. So I've actually went back and forth, because I would fade Renew against pretty much anybody in the UFC except the debuter, and a debuter flying across the world that may have never flown out of Brazil in their life is all of a sudden going to go to the Netherlands. I feel like there's going to be a Renew decision, but I think this is a let be. play all day where you stay away from this first fight and just watch. How do you feel it's going to go down?
I think Renew all day here. This girl is not, she's 61th ranked in Brazil.
Yeah.
61. So I'm, Renew, Betch Kohea is a bulldog. She comes forward the whole time. Andrade has so much more skill, but I think they have a similar fighting style, which we all knew was the perfect setup to let Holly get a knockout so they can keep cashing on her because Holly's a good draw for the UFC. Uh-huh. I don't think having the draw with Betch is just an easy fight in this division. She went. I just see this fight going pretty similar as the Dudivia fight. Uh-huh. I think it's too short notice. This girl's coming in out of nowhere. Like, they called and said, do you have anyone?
Yep.
Anyone ready to
and
fight?
And she was the only one that was willing to say, you're going to give me a fight after this, right? And they said yes. And she's like,
I think a lot of other fighters, but they just weren't prepared enough to get down to 135 at the time. And looking at this girl's physique, I would almost guess that she's a 125er.
All day. That's what I thought when I saw the tape on her immediately. I was like, get her with her nutritionist.
She's fought one time and she won with an armbar. I just don't see armbars taking women out, especially in this division anymore.
A black belt level that Renew is, that's her kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think not at this level anymore. Ronda Rousey made every woman train for that move. So I got Renew on this. I got KO ground and pound round two. Will I put it on too many things? It depends how cheap Renew is going to be. I don't see her as cheap. I think they're going to make her like 8-7 minimum. Minimum. All the way up to like 9-2. We're talking about on DraftKings people.
Right.
Plus or minus. I think they're going to try to make her like plus 350, and I think there's a very good chance this could go to decision where neither women are laying punches at the end, and it's a bunch of like, come on ladies, you gotta keep moving or I'm gonna break it up. So anyway, right now Renew KO ground and pound round two.
So moving on to the next fight, we have a double debut at featherweight, 145 pounds.
Double debut.
You like that? We have Zabit Magliazapov against Mike Santiago. Mike Santiago is coming off of the Contender Series. Does the Russian have a nickname? No. So he's going to go by Zabit. So Zabit against Santiago. Santiago just came off of the Contender Series about, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe a little shorter, a month ago.
He ended Magomed Sharipov. But I like Zabit.
Zabit's cool.
Rascally Zabit.
I went back and watched Santiago's finish in the UFC. He went in, and if he keeps that head down style of striking, it was a very Mike Brown. I thought it was of him, or yeah, Mike Brown back in the day. He's retired ATT coach. Wrestling, he uses his wrestling in reverse. Well, all the way around, he's a tough fight for anybody. I really think that Santiago has a place in the 145 division, and I'm excited for him. With that said, I really like Zabit as well. I watched his tapes, and the only thing with Zabit is that his competition is much lower, being him out of Russia and stuff. Like, you just don't know the guys he fought if they were 1-15. Like, some of them look like they were okay, some of them didn't, where we know Santiago's getting top-notch training coming out of that top-notch gym. But he's definitely fighting Americans, which tend to be some of the best MMA fighters right now in the world. So Zabit, what I really like with him is that he has great takedown defense, he has elusive striking, and he's 6'1", 145 pounds. I think George Roop is the only other 145 pounder that size, and he's 6'1", and he looks 6'1". It's unbelievable that this guy, I just don't see him staying around. He's a young man, youngish man at 26 years old. He's going to start to really fill out some of that muscle, and I just think he's going to move up. 6'1" is huge. Even at 155, 6'1" is huge for the weight class. He throws a lot of spinning attacks, a lot of spinning body and head kicks, and I feel like he does that because his takedown defense is really good. When he got to the ground, though, he did well at coming up, and he's so long, he's just awkward on the ground, and you can see a lot of guys really use that. I am going back and forth on this fight. The takedowns, I think Santiago can get if he wants to, but in when he showed in his last fights and what he said on the Contender Series is like, if they want me to come in and finish people, that's what I'm going to do. So this has a potential to be a fight of the night in my eyes, because Zabit throws shit that will catch you weird if you're throwing weird shit. It's just, there's going to be some spinning shit going on with Zabit fights. And I have Zabit right now, but I think I talked my way out of it, and I'm going to go decision Santiago. I do think that Santiago just has a bit more credibility being in the States and has a bit more tools in his box to get this fight, but I do think it's going to be a decision either way. How do you feel about this fight?
I'm the exact opposite on the Russians. I think that you always say iron sharpens iron. I feel like that about Russians. I think they're over there doing crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
6-1, 145. He's going to be closer to his home turf. We don't know what the drug testing is there. I think someone's going to come out of Russia. They're going to be hot. The guy has a crazy... they're both going to come in swinging, I think, on this fight. I think they're... Zabit has better takedown defense, so I think it'll stifle any of Santiago doing that. So I do think they're going to stand and throw on this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think under pressure, Zabit is going to perform better, and I got KO round two for the Russian.
Wow. With the Mike Santiago, he's 5'10", by the way, and 5'10 at 145 pounds
is
fucking huge. Like, the only guy that they could find, I bet you Santiago is going to dwarf other 45ers, and...
I think that tall ass physique is going to give him a long ass reach, and those couple inches are going to catch him.
Good jabs. He finished some okay guys though, but
I got the Russian finish round two, and all the guys he's gone up against have pretty huge records. They weren't schlubs.
Yeah, they weren't. It's going to be a fun one. I really think that can be a potential for fight of the night. Moving on to the next fight at 155 pounds, we have Thibaut Gaudy coming out of France against Andrew Holbrook. Thibaut Gaudy has kind of got no hype behind him. It's surprising that he's 0-3 in the UFC and still getting another fight. I don't know if it's short notice or why, but he's lost 3 in a row, and usually at this division, they don't keep you around for long if you have that type of finish, unless you were unreal of a fighter. And Gaudy is coming off of The Ultimate Fighter, so maybe he made ties and managed the way to get back in here. But we know what we're getting with Gaudy. Out of France, where they legally cannot have fights, he only competes against other training partners and has to travel to get fights. So the fights that he might be getting may not be his caliber. I don't know if he's in the States. I don't think he is, especially because they're over in Rotterdam. It just makes sense for him to train near home, where we're going to have the American Holbrook coming in. Holbrook is a much more well-rounded fighter, only having 2 losses ever in his career in the UFC, against Gillespie 4 months ago. That was a wrestler. And then Joaquin Silva knocked him out a year ago. In between those losses and wins, he has a split decision over Jake Matthews. Holbrook is competing at, I feel like, the breaking that top 15 range in the 155, where he's fighting to get a position to fight the 15th guy to maybe get ranked, where Gaudy has fought those guys and lost dramatically against Paclin, who hasn't really done much. Aubin Mercier is not a bad loss, and then his last loss being Chad Laprise, a TKO. Chad Laprise TKO'd him. I could see TKO, but I think he hit him with Gastum and then just laid it on him and the ref stepped in. So I got Holbrook submission round two. I just think Holbrook can take it where he wants to. I think he's better all the way around, bit stronger, and has much better training partners and ability. I just don't see him losing submission round two. How do you feel about this fight?
I have Holbrook decision for all the same reasons you do, but I have to be honest, I think both guys are fighting for their lives right here.
Yeah,
I think Holbrook isn't interesting enough. He's kind of capped out on age. He maybe can go into another organization and still make a living. I'm not saying his career's over by any means. I just think the UFC's thinning the roster by the days, and this fight, a win for either guy does nothing for their career.
Right.
A lose for either guy does nothing for their career. I think both guys are fighting for their place in the UFC on this fight, and I'm just going to go with the older guy on this, and not by much, only a year. So much more experience, not so much on age. So Holbrook, decision. I'm probably going to stay away from this. I do see, if, like you're saying, if there's going to be a finish, it's Holbrook. I just think he's so underwhelming. He's an underwhelming fighter. But if any guy's going to leave open a space for him, and I don't see him as being a power puncher necessarily, even though I know he's finished fights, I more so seeing Gotti give up his back. I agree with you. If it goes out, I see a submission. Yeah. So, who knows? If you're going to put someone Holbrook...
But he might be a little expensive.
I think he's going to be so expensive.
Because he's going up against a guy who's lost his last three in a row.
And UFC loves the name Holbrook.
Yeah, so
he's... Or DK. Sorry, we're talking about DraftKings.
Yeah. So, yep. I feel like that one is a pretty... is going to... When the money starts coming in, Holbrook's going to be a decided favorite in that bout. Moving on to the next fight, staying at 155 pounds, we have Michel Prezeris versus Mads Burrell. Mads Burrell is coming in, debut. He has 8 fights with 1 loss, fighting out of the Denmark scene. He's 23 years old, 5'9", and I couldn't pronounce the gym he's fighting out of. This is definitely his biggest step up in competition, fighting Michel, who's a seasoned veteran at the division, only has 2 losses in his career. And real quick, just to say something about the guy, Mads is coming in against such a higher level competition. This is going to be very lopsided of a fight. Gas tank for Burrell, horrible. Striking, little bit of power, but not that developed of a striker. Very limited in his movement. There was just nothing was sticking out. He wasn't necessarily finishing guys either that were doing anything that was making me...
What's a Japanese necktie?
That was against...
His last 2 finishes were Japanese neckties.
It's a variation of the darce choke. So it pulls in like a darce where you reach under and you do... And so instead of going over, you reach... Oh, I shouldn't even be trying to say...
Well, you can explain it.
Instead of reaching in like a darce choke, you reach on the opposite side, and then you put his chin to his chest. So it's not an arm across the throat.
You're pushing leveraging his head forward. Yeah,
and you're locking his leg as well, but you're using kind of that position.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
The reason he's gotten 2 of those, and the reason it doesn't work on... You don't hear about people getting these all the time in competition, is because it's a very easy defense. You have to be able to clear your legs and roll over real quick, and then you're in an advantageous position. That's why guys don't go for them. But Burrell was fighting the dude that just came on off of the bar stool in gym shorts. Like, it was just very low-level competition. I think he's a local just to be a local, and they're like, all right, let's feed him to whoever. Prezeris is like, I'll take that fight. You're in a no USDA state? Okay. This guy completely turned his career around. Every time I bring up Prezeris, I say he's on the juice. He doesn't fight anywhere but Brazil and Russia or the Netherlands. Look it up. He doesn't come to the States. He changed his entire career around, turned into an ultimate grinder, ground game, jiu-jitsu is where he goes, has a fucking sick-ass double leg, he's a fire hydrant, keeps those legs pedaling when he finishes through, always gets into side control, and can finish the fight with ground and pound. His striking isn't the best developed, but he's never really fallen in line with his striking, and he really can get most people down. So Burrell had limited takedown defense as well that I saw against guys that were really throwing shit worth of shots on him. So I just see this being incredibly lopsided. This is a decision Prezeris for me, just because Prezeris doesn't always finish people, but it's so lopsided I'm switching that to a submission round 2, maybe even round 1. I'm going to go round 2, Prezeris. How do you feel like this is going to go down?
Prezeris finishes this all day. I think this is your sure thing. I think everywhere is going to know this is one of the sure things, but I think this is one of the expensive bets you can put your money on. First round finish, probably worth about 117 to even more points, depending on it, because even reversals. I wouldn't even mind a reversal on the takedown. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I see it going down just like very quickly, very easily. Prezeris is a little timid, so it could be a couple minutes. I don't even mind. I hope he finishes at the end of round one.
Yeah, exactly.
I do see a round one finish, but I'd like some couple punches in, maybe more than one takedown, maybe some reversals throw in, maybe give us 130 points and make the money worth it on DraftKings. So Prezeris, put him on all your cards. I see a first round finish.
I'm liking that. Moving on to the welterweight division at 170 pounds, we have Zair Badouzar versus Rob Wilkinson. Wilkinson is the debuting fighter. We got a lot of debuters. He's debuting at 170 pounds. I got to talk about him first, just because I'm not going to say much else after this, is that this is very low quality of a fighter. He just came in winning off of a bout off of a champion who both of these guys gassed in the first round. They had flashes of brilliance. I like Wilkinson's kicks. He has okay takedown defense, but he has how Connor looked in the 10th round. He looked after 2 minutes in the first fight. But everybody who fought was in this boat, I feel like. His grappling is okay. He was able to push. The way he got his takedowns wasn't an outside double or something fast like Prezeris or even Renault's gonna shoot it. Not Renault, freaking Oliveira is gonna shoot it on you because she has good shots. He pushes you up against a fence, grabs a double leg, and drags you down. And he grinds. That's why he gets so tired, is he's willing to grind guys up, and then he starts to go with the strikes. But when he gets tired, he has no defense at all. He lets his face take the punches and just sure willpower ground out some of those wins. He did deserve the TKOs in them, but that's not a fighter you want to put anywhere on anything, especially against a seasoned UFC veteran who has proven to be able to grind people out. Hence Brandon Thatch. Everybody thought that was incredibly overmatched, but all Badouzari did was wrestle him down and ground and pound until he finally got the submission or the TKO versus ground and pound. But the takedown defense of Wilkinson was against such low caliber that I don't see the problem of Badouzar if he wants to go there. I feel like if he wants to go there, the ground game, the Afghan killer, I think he's, what's his nickname now? I'll always know him as the Afghan killer. The great, he definitely is just a better fighter everywhere around. His striking is his most awkward, and he hits people with big punches because it is a very hands down, but when he strikes with all of his power, it's because he immediately grabs you and puts you to the canvas. And I just feel like he could finish this any single round. I'm gonna go TKO round one for the great. I just see an overmatched here. They're bringing in a guy to just have the local favorites have somebody to cheer for, but how many fights has he already been fighting in the UFC? I feel like four fights, and his only losses are to Dong Young Kim in a decision, John Howard in a decision, and Brandon Thatch, he just beat in a decision. But he had a couple fights before that. Wilkinson, again, is no near any of those levels from what I saw on tape. How do you feel about this fight?
I have Badouzar submission round two. I just think the other kid's not ready for this yet. I think Zayar is a grinding type fighter. He comes from Jackson Wink. They have had a lot go on at their camp recently. I do think that style, a guy coming in that's going to try to submit you using 101 chokes in the UFC is not going to fly at all. I do think the other kid has a future though in the UFC, and I think he's good looking. I think he's Australian, so yeah. I don't think he's bad for them to build up. He comes in against a guy, but I think, this also being said, I have submission round two, but I think if Rob Wilkinson comes in and puts on a show here, he will have a very fast rising star. Because I do not think, pretty much right now, anyone that has Wilkinson, I'm like, they're just going with this picture. The two pictures of the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the great doesn't look intimidating. He's never been a muscular fighter. He's one of those guys that's like, oh, you're going to fight that kid's uncle? Okay. And he is wrestling roots. So he ragsdoll people around, and he has a grind ability about him that has won a few bouts for
so
him.
So I have Baja de Zarazada submission round two.
All right. I'm liking that pick. Hopefully he's not too much of a favorite, but I feel like he's going to be as well.
I think those might be the one you see 8-1, 8-1, only because it looks like fan faves are liking this kid.
Yeah, because he's 11-0, but again, that competition level is not UFC caliber. So he's going to be surprised at, even if Badrazar isn't going to run for a title anytime soon, he's a UFC caliber fighter. Moving on to the next fight, we have a bout at welterweight. We're staying in the lighter weights. I like these lighter weights. They tend to be a little bit more exciting. We have Darren Till versus Bohan Vukovic. Vukovic, the Serbian steel, has had multiple fights in the UFC, beating the likes of Nick Misoki as of late and losing a split decision to Sultan Aliyev. Prior to that, he lost a decision to Graves. I think it was turned over due to drugs or something like that. And then prior to that, he beat Alessio Di Chiricchio in a decision. And he was the RFA champ against Ben Smith. I like the Serbian steel or steel. I think that he has a bright future all the way around. He's got a solid game plan, good gas tank, and he mixes it up well from his takedowns into his strikes. And he's really just a tough fight for anybody. I do think that the fight against Zoltan Aliyev is a good way to look at the way to beat him. Against Mizoki, Mizoki's a little bit iffy, a little chinnier. I don't think that Darren Till's in that boat yet, but Darren Till does tend to take a lot of damage. The fight for Till, this is definitely a tough one. Till's 14-1, and Darren Till has definitely been in the States. I feel like he's a head striking coach for somebody in the States, but he has people down in the kingdom, so I'm expecting him to fly out there a little bit. I feel like the striking goes to Till, but the well-roundedness goes to Serbian Steel. What really is a little has me hesitant on this bout for Till is he tends to make fights a lot closer than they need to be. He has the skill to beat a lot of fighters by blowing them out, and everybody in the gym will say, this guy runs through people in our gym. I'm surprised that was his majority or split decision, because he has those type of fights. And I don't know if it's the lights, the experience, because he's only 24 years old and he has a mountain of potential under him. But so does Serbian Steel. Serbian Steel, I mean, has beat Darren Till level of fighters. And I think this is a good test for both fighters. I'm really intrigued about this bout. It's all going to be to the takedown, whether Serbian Steel can get Till down. And Till has good takedown defense. On the ground, Till's no joke either. I don't know. I feel like he's a purple belt. Couldn't tell you from where. But Steel looked good against fighters in there that, I guess not too many of them. Di Chiricchio came from an Italian wrestling scene. And then Graves, the wrestler, actually was able to out-wrestle him a lot. So I feel like Till may be a little... Till might be a little more well-rounded. He just doesn't translate the strikes into the grappling, into the jiu-jitsu as fluidly as Serbian Steel does. And that's where I feel like Steel might be able to get more advantageous positions for a little bit of time. But I think this is going to be a decision fight all day. I'm eking it out to Till. Going to have to watch some more tape on these last guys, because this is a tough one for me. How do you feel this one's going to go down?
I think this is a comfortable decision for Till. Mm-hmm. I think he has a little too much experience against higher level guys, and I think the cardio is going to show. I do think it's going to be a grinding type fight. Uh-huh. I think the question that you're battling right now against defense and takedown and who's going to have the... I think it's both, and it's going to be a battle. We're going to see it go back and forth, back and forth. I do see Bojan... Serbian Steel, Velikovic. I like to try it once. Velikovic. I do think he is going to get a takedown here or two, which is going to give him maybe a round. Mm-hmm. But I do think Darren Till, this is where for me. I think he's going to have the comfortable decision here. I think with that comfortable decision, he's going to be very expensive. I think because of the grinding style fight I see happening, I don't think he's going to be worth the money.
That notoriously happens to him on DK because he's in very close bouts where it turns up being 40 points for each fighter and it was a decision fight.
So I really like Darren Till here. I think he's going to have a comfortable decision here. I do think if he is too expensive, this could be that weird fight where you go ahead and you put Velikovic on it if he's cheap enough just to fill your card with a bunch of monsters. If Till
is a heavy, I agree with that 100% because it is going to be that 40-40 for both. That's a good call. That's a sneaky play. That's a little backdoor play right there.
Well, you know how I like backdoor play.
Hey! So, if you didn't remember, subscribe. Might as well right now before we go on to the next one.
Find the RSS feed on lesboandthebean.com and put it in your iTunes or your Google Play or whatever you listen to.
So that way you don't have to look us up now that MacMay's over. So, moving on to the next fight at 155 pounds, we have a lightweight bout between Marbek Taisumov versus Philippe Silva. Silva's coming off of his debut against Shane Campbell and a TKO finish a year ago. And then prior to that, he was fighting out of Brazil. He is an undefeated fighter. In that Campbell fight, he packs a punch. Silva has a good straight punch, good kicks. Definitely looks like he wants to keep it striking more in his bouts. But on the ground, he's definitely not going to be weirded out at any position at any given time. And that's about all the good stuff I can say about Silva. He's got a couple good straight punches. Taisumov, I see personally being a far superior fighter. Way more experience, way higher caliber experience. Shane Campbell, who's not in the UFC anymore, is not obviously UFC caliber. Felipe beat him, as he should. This is just such a mismatch. Coming out of Tiger Muay Thai, Taisumov has only had a few bad bouts in the UFC. And that was to Perseris, and that was a decision because Perseris grinded the shit out of him. Just take
Perseris down. Perseris went to decision down, with Kevin Lee, down. And that has to say something.
Yeah, that's why he should be such a mega favorite as well. Like, he just grinds you. Taisumov has come off a 4-fight winning streak since then against the likes of Mikhail Bandel, Tony Cristalou. I don't think he's in the UFC anymore. Cristalou, Birmar Hadzovic is his last win. With a TKO, and Alan Patrick. I'd say Alan Patrick is definitely probably the closer one in there that was his more marquee win, but it's not...
Does Taisumov fight out of South America somewhere?
No, he fights out of Tiger Muay Thai, Thailand, with Roger
Wendell. Thailand, Tiger Muay Thai. Okay.
Roger
I didn't know if he fought with There's my monster. Girl, Team Bullet. Sorry, Valentina Shevchenko, I just see Tiger Muay Thai.
Yeah, so... he's fighting with beasts, and he's known to be a beast. And with his last wins, even though they're not super high-caliber UFC-level fighters, the way that he's dominated those fights has just shown how more comfortable he's been in there. I see Taisumov going wherever he wants with this fight. The only thing that gets me a little scared with Taisumov and those straight punches I was talking about with Silva is that
he straight
is
punches beat looping punches every time. Exactly. I knew you were
exactly.
He can get clipped.
He can get clipped. So I see him being a huge favorite, but no. If I say I told you so next week, it's because he's gonna throw one of those Russian over the top rights, and if that hit punch hits him first, and then he wobbles and gets submitted. It would be hard.
Here's something you're changing my opinion on right now. Right now, I have Taisumov KO round one. That's right, what I have.
Right.
Now you talking about this. Not only is Taisumov going to be super expensive on DraftKings,
yep,
but I see him because I think he's KO'd his last two fights.
Yep.
He's going to go in there with that puncher's mentality, swinging with everything he's got. And
Russians know to do that. Russians, they will throw it from their hip and... And Dragon Ball Z, your hand's at your waist, I punch you in the face.
The only thing Felipe Silva has is a good right, straight right.
That's what I feel like. I don't want to say left or right, but I feel like it's a right. But I want to say a straight punch, but it's stiffened to the point. It hurt Campbell many a times. It needs to get there once, and it can. It's just whether, but the Russian has so many avenues.
You know what, this is what I'm going to do.
He can take him down too.
I got Russian KO round one. Okay. I do think they're going to swing, and I do think he's going to catch him. I do. I'm changing it. I'm going to do ground and pound round two because I think Felipe is going to go through that. But here's what I do think out there for the gamblers in the house. Maybe one of your cheaper cards. Get one card and put Felipe Silva on it if he's dirt cheap because I'm thinking he's going to be like the cheapest bottom guy of the barrel. Tonight.
I think so too.
I think put him on one card and then fill it with your nuts. Don't just fill it with favorites. Fill it with who you think is going to put finishes. But I think give one card to Felipe. Even though I have a finish here, KO round two for Tasuminov, I think give one card to Felipe. I think he could surprise you.
And don't make it your most expensive card and be like, no, make it your cheap card.
Little cheap one.
Yeah, we're not telling you, like, this is a long shot, but it's a shot that people are overlooking.
Maybe just a George Washington card.
Right. I do think, though, that if Tasuminov doesn't get hit, and I do think that Silva will gas more so in the fight. If it doesn't happen early, it's not going to happen.
You gas against a Russian every time.
Exactly. So I'm going with that round two, round three. I'm going to go with round two as well. And I was thinking it was going to be Tasuminov feeling that power initially and saying, fuck this, I'm going to take this guy down and finish him because I can do that. And I was going to say a TKO ground and pound because he throws those uppercuts when he holds the waist like a lot of Russians do. And yep, I definitely, TKO is going to end up happening one way or another in that bout. Moving on to the next fight, we have the preliminary, we have a fight between Bohan Maljevic versus a debuter, Albukerm Edliyev.
Two Russians.
Woo! So
pretty evenly ranked all the way across the board.
Right. We have a 25-year-old in the Crimean Lion? Is that Crimean?
Crimean.
The Crimean Lion versus
Abdul Karim Edliyev.
Edliyev is what I was thinking.
Edliyev versus Bojan Mihaljevic.
But I want to say Malkovich. The
being Bojan Malkovich. That's stupid.
The Serbian Lion is the younger fighter by 12 years and is definitely got the size on him. He definitely looks like he has to cut the 205 a bit more, being 6'3 against the 37-year-old Mijalkovic at 5'11. At 37, I don't see Mijalkovic coming back. He's a 10-5 fighter. I feel like he's a light heavyweight. Maybe was a heavyweight and then went down. Yeah, he was a heavyweight because he has a loss against my boy Francis Ngannou. So he went down in weight and was like, give me one more shot, guys. I'm going to go to 205. This is probably his 205 fight. And he lost as well to Joaquin Christiansen, who's also out of the UFC. So with the 25-year-old, I think they're doing him a favor. I feel like all the way around youth. And the only thing Mijalkovic has is experience. I don't think he has a speed. A bit more of the wrestling. No, I give all the things I saw, but I don't think that Edliyev is going to be someone he's going to tear through the division anytime soon, but I think he's got this fight. I think it's going to go to the ground. TKO round one, ground and pound. But don't get your hypes up yet because this is not good competition he's going against in Mijalkovic. How do you feel about this?
I have Edliyev submission round two. I think the other guy just hasn't done anything great. They're too close. I'm looking at their rankings. This is what I'm going by on this.
All right.
I'm looking at their rankings, and one guy has two losses in a row, and they're getting close in rankings. So I got to think he's slipping in one direction, and another guy's coming up in another. So I just think this is a rung pass, like climbing a ladder, and I think this is just Edliyev's next step in his young career on his way to hopefully being a light heavyweight we continue to see. So I think he submits him. I think it's a rear naked choke. I think he's going to stay away from the punching game after round one. He'll test his chin a little bit, and then I think he's going to take the other guys back and, true to form, submit him. And everybody loves a light heavyweight with a submission game.
Well, he's a light heavyweight. He's a 205er.
That's what I said. Light heavyweight with a submission game.
So, moving on to the next fight,
we have...
You know what I'd love to see? I wish I could pull up something and I could put in Lav, Libov, Kalibov, Mikhovanov, Tesumanov, all of them, because I bet I'm pretty, like, I bet for them 90% of the time. I think it's a good betting rule.
You just bet on the Russian?
Yeah, a lot of the time. A lot. But not on the last fight. But if their name ends in Libov or Tumanov or Nurmagomedov, I usually tend to...
A lot of those guys also fight in Europe because they can't get visa issues and stuff like that. And there's multiple fighters that are like, after the fight, of course, I didn't realize the travel was going to hit me as hard as it did. And I don't feel like too many of these guys went out a month before to go fight in Rotterdam. On to the next fight at 155 pounds. We have Rustam Khabilov versus Dez Green. Sorry, different fighter. Dez Green last debuted in the UFC with a split decision over Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett being a definitely fun fighter at Alpha Male. He's a Titan FC alumni and wrestling base, good striking. Gas tank has been a little bit worn. I feel like Green's wrestling has always been his base, but some of that head, I don't know if it's the head movement that's not there, or if it's that his dreads, his hairstyle makes it look like he's getting hit more than he is, or it's making more damage because his hair will just shake sometimes, or it just looks different. But he's never been hurt too incredibly bad. He does have heart and has been able to come through in fights. That split decision over Emmett was a grueling fight. A lot of people had Emmett in that fight. I feel like I had Emmett in that fight. And Green, it just turned into a strike, strike, takedown, strike, strike, takedown. And I feel like against a Russian, he's going to be like, come at me, bro. Shoot, double leg me all day. Shoot on me. Let's go to the ground. Khabilov has a good ground game. Guess what? All these Russian fighters mostly do. And Khabilov has had a few fights out of Winklejohn. So they're definitely coming at it with a great game plan. Rustam Khabilov definitely has a much more veteran of a career in the UFC, beating people like Chris Wade in decision, Norman Park, and last, Jason Sago. He tends to get people to the ground or in a dominant position and hold them there and land that pitter patter, never anything to really finish you. He more beats you in position, in decision, than fully finishes you, but he does have the submission ability. It's just that the caliber of fighters are aware of the submissions he's going for now. And I feel like Desmond Green being a wrestler, this is going to turn into a boring wrestling match. I just see it happening all day, and it's going to be who can get more takedowns and be in dominant position more. This on DK has a sneaky bit to be a little bit heavy just because takedowns and reversals tend to be more. They're almost as much as a knockdown.
It's a good tip.
Strikes.
It's a good tip.
So even though it's going to be a boring fight and you old scoring wise, I would have been stayed away from it. I feel like they both have good gas tanks. They both proven it in fights. So this is going to be a scramble, 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 scramble. I could put either fighter. Maybe the little cheaper one is probably going to be Green, but I am going to go with Khabilov. I just feel like the travel, the veteranship, and the all-around game is about even, if not a little bit more, for the Russian and on the ground. How do you feel this is?
I think Khabilov has the experience, and the number one factor we're going to see in this fight is the test of the gas tank. Khabilov seems to grind people down of a will. It's almost like he doesn't even try to finish. He doesn't even try to finish. I think we're going to see the most tired that we've ever seen Dez Green at the end of this fight, and I think it's going to be a pretty easy decision for Khabilov on his way up the rankings.
Ooh, so maybe we do stick with Khabilov a bit more on the DK, because I do think that takedowns have always played in his fights. Dez Green does have good takedown defense, though. With his wrestling base and his American wrestling base, those Russians have had more trouble against American wrestling than notorious other styles. I do think that the travel is going to play a big game. I feel like Dez Green's come out of the local circuits into the UFC in the States, and first time traveling, he's going to feel it. Moving on to the next fight, getting a little heavy back to the 205 pounds between Francis Barroso versus a debuting Alessard Rack
and Rex debuting.
Rekic?
Rekic? Man, he doesn't have a
Barisal
nickname.
Barisal versus Rekic. Rekic. So, Rekic.
Barroso is definitely the veteran fighter. He is coming off of a win against Darren Stewart in a decision. Prior to that, it was a weird split, like head decision. They rematched. Barroso took over. I feel like Barroso at 37 years old is one of those guys that if he was fighting in the United States, might pop. Because nobody saw him being Stewart, especially after he was submitted against Krylov. I just feel like Barroso has been losing a step his whole career. And surprised when he did beat Stewart. I had Stewart in that, but he made Stewart look bad. But Stewart is also not that high above a caliber. So I'm asking a lot from this debuting fighter out of Europe. This Australian 25-year-old at 203 pounds. So he's 6'4". Barroso isn't going to be... Barroso, what he can do is use his veteranship and tire this young man out. But I feel like the finish is going to come. I feel like he's quicker to the punch. He's got good striking. His takedown defense wasn't that good. His endurance wasn't the best, but he had a good forward movement. Always moving forward. When he was athletic, the few tapes that I did see of him, he hasn't fought for 5 months TKO punches. He has a lot of finishes, but again, the competition level out of Australia, I can't say if it's too high because I don't know the scene too much. There's a few fighters, I guess a current interim belt is Aussie holder, so they got a budding MMA scene, and there is tough guys out of there, but I'm just more fading Barroso just because I feel like every time I see him, he's a bit slower, but he grinds fights out and he doesn't like to lose. I feel like he beats people on sure will and he turns it into grinding battles. He can do that against this young man and show him something he's never had, especially debuting. And I do think that this specifically on weigh-in, specifically this fight, I will pick 100%, but I'm going Rack TKO round one. We'll see after post weigh-ins how good Barroso looks because that juice might be
blowing. Seems like a heavy favorite right now. I'd be interested to know. Maybe everyone has an inside tip. I'm going to go with Barroso decision right now. I just think his veteranship is going to really come through here. The number one reason on this, the other guys that this dude has fought have zero records.
Exactly.
Zero records. Exactly. So I just... being able to come in and be the tallest guy in the room and outreach everybody else by 5 inches and lay people out isn't going to work in the UFC. It isn't going to work. You can look at our tall guys. You can look at our Struve and our Gustafsson and our John Jones. You can't just come in and be a tall guy because look what happens. Our Travis Brown happens. That's what happens when you're just coming and try to be a tall guy in the UFC. So I think Barroso, just a little too much experience. He's not one of my favorite fighters. Not one of my favorite fighters to watch, but I think he's going to put this kid through the mill.
Yep, I could see that happening. Totally. So, I could totally see that happening.
If he's this big of an underdog pick for me, I have Barroso decision right now, and it seems like an underdog.
Speaking of Travis Brown, do you hear Mrs. Brown is official?
Yes, I did. Congratulations. I think they did it on the Floyd-Connor fight.
Because they don't care about fighting.
No, I thought it was a smart day because nobody else was talking about her.
Exactly. But the Uzi Derek Lewis ended up creeping his way into
me. I thought that was pretty funny.
I retweeted that one. That one was good. Love me some Derek Lewis. By the way, Derek Lewis, you are a man's man. You're doing some heavy-duty shit.
You got a big truck with some big wheels. You're driving to some big water and save some big people in Texas.
And you ain't driving by. That's a good man.
Yeah.
And stopping to help him. Good for you. So
Americans helping Americans. Love it.
I agree. Damn, that's a hell of a disaster. Fucking all of a sudden, man.
Out of the blue.
Like, oh, man. God, we got to talk about. All right.
Our hearts go out to all those people.
All those people. In that crazy ass trench.
We're thinking about you here at Lesbo and the Bean.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So moving back to the fights. We have a main card. We're getting out of the preliminaries, moving on to the main card now with about at welterweight between Leon Edwards versus Brian Barberina. Both of these are a bit caliber. We're definitely getting into the meat of the bone of level of fighters. Both of these guys have experience. Leon Edwards is coming off a 3-fight winning streak, losing only to Kamaru Usman. Understandable loss. Just throwing that out there. Then beating the likes of Tyce Albert Temunov, the Russian, Dominic Waters, who's no longer in the UFC, and his last fight, Vicente Luque.
I love Luque.
I know, but Luque looked like dog doo-doo.
He looked awful so, in that fight.
I'm just saying, Edwards, the Russian, and Luque, those are both legitimate wins. Waters, not so much. He's out of the UFC. It was a tough fight. Edwards has proven that he can be in a grind and still try to finish the fight in the third round. He'll throw flying knees and spinning elbows in the third round, even if they're slow and plodding, but they're there. And sometimes they come through on you. What I'm going back to, though, with is that decision by Kamaru Usman. Good old American wrestling. And I do feel like Leon Edwards, after that fight, took a big step in his takedown defense, because Usman just showed him that his takedown defense wasn't at par. So he's definitely got that much better. But that's kind of the blueprint if you want to be an Edwards, because he is a dynamic striker. If there's a finish to be had in this fight, on the feet or with strikes, it's going to be coming from Edwards. That kickboxing style. But he has power in all of his limbs. He definitely cuts weight and is a very fit 170-pounder. He's got a bit of size on him at, I guess, Barbarina being the taller fighter here. Edwards, yeah, 5'10 isn't too weird. But Edwards' gas tank looks like he always really gasses to be in a fight and still ekes out a win somehow. And moving on to Brian Barbarina, or the hype killer. How many guys did they throw at Barbarina to be like, fuck you, I'm just going to be mad because Northcutt? They were really mad because Northcutt got beat, and then they threw him to the wolves, and he beat Worley Alves, who was a huge step up, but really not gone far. Then he lost to a Colby Covington in a decision. Barbarina coming on his last win off of Joe Proctor, TKO. So Barbarina showed us that he's got a bit of power, but Proctor doesn't really have a chin, didn't have a chin. Edwards also does get hurt a lot in his fights. So Barbarina can lay some of that. Barbarina doesn't hit you from the outside as much, where he'll put you on the fence and throw uppercuts and hit you like the no-time Oleinik. He hits you with those uppercuts in the dirty and the grind, and Barbarina has a tendency to make fights grinding, and he tends to overwhelm people with his wrestling and physicality more than strikes. He also does strike on the ground really well. It's whether Edwards can keep it standing or not, and it's tough. We'll know in the first round will tell us this. But Brian Barbarina is the type of fighter that even if he doesn't get the takedown in the first round, he'll keep shooting in the third round. He's just that type of a grinder. Doesn't look physically imposing by any means whatsoever, but always dominates people that he shouldn't. Colby Covington is not an easy loss either. So I actually am going to go with Brian Barbarina submission, because I feel like Leon Edwards is going to throw those strikes and Barbarina is going to grab anything and get it to the ground and just make it into a fight. That's what he's been tending to do. And I feel like he can tire out Edwards on the ground where most people can't, and sneak something in, get some kind of a darce and or triangle choke, arm triangle choke. How do you feel like this is going to go?
I think we just found our Leslie Smith underdog pick of the week. Barbarina all day. I got Barbarina decision. I could see that going sketchy because the hometown boy and heavy favorite is Leon Edwards. I think he's going to be a heavy favorite everywhere on your DraftKings, Leon Edwards. Too. I think he's going to gas for every reason you said. I think he is going to be held down, lose some of his strength round one.
Yep.
We might see some punches here and there. And he does have some crazy kicks and everything. Barbarina has straight punches and nasty knees. Nothing you want to just throw crazy kicks around with. Nothing you just want to, you know, get crazy. I do think that Leon Edwards gets hurt in fights. I don't think he's going to have a gas tank for this. I think Barbarina is always underrated going into his fights, which makes him super dangerous. And he has heart. He has heart. I know people hate when other people say that, but to me, heart with a fighter is a fighter fighter that when you, if you were to watch round three and I washed out the round number at the bottom of the screen, you wouldn't know what round that fighter was in. Just him. You might know by looking at the other fighter, but he comes out with this third round machismo. And I think I agree. Right now I have Barbarina decision, but I could see after Leon Edwards loses momentum.
A couple takedowns.
I think a couple takedowns, and I think he gives up his back to just get submitted. I could see that happening toward the end of round three. So I think our Leslie Smith underdog pick of the week is Brian Barbarina.
You heard it here first. Fun fight. I can't wait for that one. And that was the co-main event of the night. That's a fun one. I think that's going to be... It might be sneakily bad.
This is an okay way back in. I'm kind of glad it's not a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. I need to come in slowly after the Mayweather-McGregor. I need the weekend in between of fights before it's UFC 215, which the friggin' UFC isn't promoting at all. So I'm just going to say UFC 215 right on the horizon. Amanda Nunes, Shevchenko.
That's next weekend?
Yep. Next weekend, I think. Anyways, back to this main event. Stefan Struve, Alexander Volkov. Go ahead.
All right. This main event is ending with the heavyweights. We definitely have the Jolly Green Giant stepping in against the Russian Drago. They say he looks like Drago. Other than the blonde hair, he looks nothing like Drago at all. I feel like isn't that the Russian boxer in the movie? In
Yeah, he doesn't look like Ivan him at
Drago.
All.
Nothing, but I feel like that's where he comes. He has a Bellator.
Stefan Struve looks more like Khal Drago.
No, Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Oh, Stefan Struve looks more like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV
than Volkov. I would agree with that. He needs to definitely change
spiky
that.
Hair on Stefan Struve. He looks more like him. Anyways.
So,
Volkov. Because Stefan Struve and Drago both have that look where it looks Cro-Magnon.
Man. Yeah, I agree. Well, they're both giants.
Yeah.
Volkov is 6'7", which, what is it, Travis Brown is 6'4", and isn't he a giant? Volkov, 6'7", maybe Travis Brown, 6'9". But either way, the tallest fighter in the UFC, Stefan Skyscraper Struve, is 7 foot. I thought he used to be 7'1". They must have measured him. To all people, once they get to that size, they like to add an inch, apparently, because it hurts this different level of, like, oh, if I'm not going to be the shortest person in the world, I'm going to be the tallest. It was a really interesting Giants documentary. Pituitary gland issues, most of them. So guess what you shouldn't be doing? Hating yourself in the goddamn head for a living when you're a fucking giant. You have heart issues. You've dropped fights because you had panic attacks after you've had been diagnosed with gigantism. And fucking, you're a man's man, Stefan Struve. But I just, his last two fights... His last win being Daniel Omelianchuk in a Darce choke. And prior to that, he beat Bigfoot Silva. Antonio Silva. And prior to that, he lost to Jared Rolshaw. Prior to that, he ended up beating Rodrigo Nogueira in a decision. And during this time, I feel like he also lost a TKO to... Alistair Overeem. So he's... put a couple good wins in there. But at 29, I just feel like a lot of people have figured out Stefan Struve and that overhand right. Roy Nelson showed it. He's really tall. He's good on the ground because he's so long. But I don't think that size is going to really be there as much for such a big guy like Volkov as well. Where I feel like Struve looks lumbering at times in there when he throws punches. And it's his sure size. He looks very lumbering. Where Volkov is more of that functional strength. Where he's looks like a proportionate big person. And I feel like he can land deadlier, faster strikes. He's the much better striker here. And even on the ground, I feel like Volkov can stifle much more than what Struve can throw up there. Struve initially was catching people with submissions and stuff because they don't see it. And the caliber, his last two fights of caliber of fighter are not Volkov caliber of fighter. Omelianchuk is not that level. And Antonio Silva moved to kickboxing because he's not winning MMA fights. Good idea, Antonio Silva. Also a guy that has gigantism, been caught on steroids, and is known to be chinny, and he keeps on fighting.
I just, is it a weird cycle of a loop? Like, what keeps them in it? Is it the money?
Probably. It's how they make their living.
It's how they make their living.
No retirement plan.
So I just see this being an outmatched fight. I feel like Volkov isn't going to get the submission, but he'll get the ground and pound TKO quickly, if not a standing TKO, because I feel like he can just beat Struve to the punch. I feel like Struve's going to take a lot of damage all the way around.
Struve this always is a five takes rounder, damage.
Right, exactly. So that's why I feel like it's just not going to happen. Five rounds, not happening. I got Volkov TKO round two. I see it being ground and pound, and it's going to be round one. It should have been over, and he'll make it to the end of round one, and then round two, it'll just go to more of that and be finished.
Right now, I totally disagree. I like everything you say, and I could flop. This might be the only one I flop.
No, it's fine. Do whatever you do.
But right now, I have Stefan Struve, and I think he liked the feel of that Darce choke. He's such a tall man. Mm-hmm. What a perfect submission style for him. He's going to be able to get it over. I think he's going to like the feel of it. I don't think he's going to like the way that those punches feel. So I think he's going to go for it quick. I think if there is a career peak to be had, Stefan Struve should be getting into it. 29. Oh, this should be.
He's a giant.
I understand.
It's like big dog.
He's I understand, like, but how old's Bigfoot Silva? 40.
Yeah, true.
Like, I feel like he still has a couple more swings in him. I'm going to give this to Stefan Struve right now. I think he's going to like the feel of the submission from the last fight. Ooh. I got submission round two for him. Ooh. I don't think we're going to see this go into later rounds. Either way you cut it.
Exact contrast. I think, I'm liking it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so. We have a decided underdog for the week, so I think that's the most important.
Put the flour in it. I think we put the egg in it. I think we've kneaded it. I think we've baked it. I think we're delivering all of our viewers a nice loaf of DraftKings picks for fight night.
And or bets. Because I feel like you could, if you can read between the lines, you're hearing the kind of bets we want to pick with submissions and or finishes.
I know. We probably could have pulled up and gotten all the lines for these as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably out, but...
You know what we look at. We go to Tapology.com. You can follow us both on Tapology. Follow us on Twitter at Lesbo and the Bean for all things Lesbo and the Bean. Lesboandthebean.com.
Lesbo and the Bean!